Okay, so tonight we're tackling a topic. It's going to be two sessions, but each one is discrete. The title is Organizing a Jewish National Guard in the United States, Halachic Perspectives, Part 1. And we're giving this year on day 38 of the war in Gaza. And it's relevant because we have experienced an explosion of anti-Semitism in America, which maybe was always latent, but certainly was energized by all the events of Hamas, including a professor at Cornell saying he was thrilled, exhilarated by the barbaric massacre of the Jews, 1,200 Jews on October 7th. And the list goes on in Columbia and all the colleges. And you had just over a weekend in London, 200,000 people marching in basically a pro-Hamas-oriented march, and they call it pro-Palestinian, whatever. But the key thing is that for us, and there's been an explosion of reports of anti-Semitic incidents, even down to a very small thing, like even locally, not only in local, but here, and in Great Neck, and the five towns, and the city, putting up the kidnap signs have been dealt with a lot of being ripped down. Now you would think, like, why would a person feel, how is that helping the Palestinian cause that you are ripping down a picture of a Thai worker or an 8-year-old kid who is being incarcerated in Gaza? So under all that is clearly the face of anti-Semitism. So that I'm taking that as a first step. So I want to get into that. And, okay, so the first we're going to start with an odd location. Pasuk says, by Avram Avinu received the mitzvah of bris milah. And the Pasuk says, V'yikach Avram es Yishmael b'no, v'es kol yilidei beiso, v'es kol miknas kasbo, kol zachar ba'anshe beis Avram, v'yamala desar olasam, v'etzem hayom azeh, kasher diber ito elokim. So Hashem took Yishmael, his son, and all the people, boys who were born in the household, and all the boys that were, all the people, males that were acquired, you know, into slavery. All the males of the household of Avram, and Avram circumcised all the foreskins. On that very day, Kasher Diber Ito Elokim, as Hashem said. Okay, so Rashi and Chazal pick up on the theme, you know, just say, Bayom, you know, on Bayom Hazeh, why Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? There was something to specify. So Rashi says an interesting comment. Bo Bayom Shnesav, on the very day that he was commanded, Bayom Lailah, he did that in day and not at night. Lo Nisyara, and he was not afraid. Lo Min HaGoyim, not from the nations. Velo min ha-leitzanim, and not from the scoffers. Velo she'yu oivav, ubnei doro omrim, and not for that the enemies, his enemies, and the people of his generation would say, ilu re'inuhu, if we would have saw him, lo hi nichuhu limol ulkaim mitzvaso shel makom. If we would have saw Avraham Avinu doing this, we would not have allowed him to do the milah, and to fill the command of Hashem. So it's a shocking chazal. I mean, well, first of all, before I think, what's challenging about this Rashi? What question comes to mind?
How would they care what he's doing?
Yeah, that most 100% correct. In other words, what he has this weird religious fetish that he has to do a bizarre mutilating procedure on the males of his household. Why does it bother you? In fact, you're dealing with the ancient Near East. They're all doing weird kind of stuff. So why is his weird thing any different than the other people's weird thing? Why are you picking on him? I think that's the main question. Just to add to that, is it noticed that Chazal seems to be that even though Avram, you know, he has a base, it says base Avram, there's a household of Avram, and we saw earlier three chapters earlier, he had 318 men. So he had a sizable amount of people, part of his students, etc. But notice he has, there was going to be, in reacting to Avram, he has seemingly a number of audiences, Goyim and Leitzanim. And then he says, and Oiva and Bnei Doro. So do you want to say that's really two categories, or is that four categories? But whatever, there seems to be a large difference, that Avram is sort of like in conversation with a number of constituencies in his world. I mean, in other words, you would just say the Goyim, the other nations, or you may want to say, so each person apparently has an opinion. There's a late son of have an opinion, and we have the, it's fun. He's gathered a number of audiences that have seemed to oppose him, and all of which would have said, if we would have saw him, we would have stopped him. Which goes back to Moses' questions, like, you know, why can't you just live and let live? So I guess that's a second question I'd like to address, is like, what are these multiple audiences here? And again, why the ferocity of condemnation? What do you guys think?
This is broken into two categories, right? One is low nisgaira, he wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
And the other category is what they're gonna, you know, they would have said they would have stopped him.
Right.
Is that so?
Right, so if it says he was not afraid, means he should have reason to be afraid. Right, there was clearly an opposition here. And he shouldn't, you know, he was prepared for a fight. He was prepared to assert his confidence in fulfilling the, you know, Ratzon Hashem of fulfilling this mitzvah. So how would you attack this? How would you address this? I think you have to make the step here is that that clearly Avraham Avinu. Let's take a couple steps back. Avraham Avinu is coming into the region, pronouncing and sharing with the people the idea of Yichud Hashem, the Derech Hashem, mitzvah of Asos Taku Mishpat. He's a person that has a whole worldview. And Avraham Avinu is not a guy you can be neutral about. He, you know what I mean, are you going to embrace his position? Are you going to oppose his position? So he's not like a neutrality. He's coming there with a completely different paradigm, a worldview of what civilization should be organized by. So that did not, in fact, Chazal talk about that he was thrown into the Kivshon Ha'esh, because that was destabilizing to Nimrod's control over his city-state of Ur. And you see later on, Gary and I were both, he listened to that shiur, right, Jake mentioned that even later on, even when Yosef became the viceroy, and he's sitting down to have a meal, and he's going to have a lamb. They couldn't sit with him because they found it to be a toeva about the way that the Ivrim ate. Now already there was if there's like 10 people, if there's like a family or 20 people, what do you mean there's a whole that they already had a? Why did the Mitzvim care about their approach? So the Rambam in Hilchos Avodos Kochavim talks about that he had. You know, tens of thousands of followers. So his impact was huge. So therefore, there are people that you could, in other words, people realize enough that if Avram's right, what my life is nothing. So you have a couple of approaches. You could try to be involved in a dialogue, in a debate, arguing and saying why Avram's position is wrong. Or you see from the word Leitzanus, what is Leitzanus? Again, right, Jay had the point because there was later on that when Yitzchak was born, you know, after this point, that he was born right? He was born relatively after Sarah had been abducted by Abimelech. So Rashi brings down the late son of Ador and says, ah, this guy is really Abimelech's son. So the late son of Ador wanted to try to attack Avram. So what did Hashem do? The Ashtaka did? That he looked like a spitting image of Avram Avinu. It was like no question. His father like son, they looked duplicates of each other. So Leitzanus is the approach of when you can't break down the person directly, you try to find the soft underbelly to make a powerful sort of an emotional approach to try to like attack a guy when they can't attack you back. The best example in our contemporary times is if you see a video of a comedian in a comedy cellar or comedy hall, right? So how he deals with hecklers. In fact, that might be more interesting than the actual his type five. You know, he did his 5-minute thing, and people are trying to, you know, drunk customers are trying to wrestle, you know, and then he will make some very biting, aggressive, acerbic put downs that, of course, everybody loves, but the guy can't really, the guy who's not trained and gifted doesn't have a swift reply, become completely publicly humiliated. So that is the that's the late sonnet. In order, the ability to completely devastate, humiliate, undermine, attack in a way that is not easily to have a comeback. I think one of the skills that Donald Trump has is the ability to give a guy a name, Crooked Hillary, and which, even though it's like seems like it's back from the third grade, but it's as far as ways to neutralize competitors by giving them a negative name, so therefore they can, and that's which effectively sticks is a tool of Leitzanus. It's effective.
And in all those cases,
low energy Jeb. That was brutal. Now, of course, it always has to have some MS to it. It'll stick.
This one was Pocahontas.
What?
Pocahontas is the best.
Pocahontas. Right? Has to, what makes it sticky is that it has some truth value to it. There's some element of truth to that that he's touching upon, which makes it, you can't just dismiss it. So that makes it very powerful. So the Leitzan and Ador are trying to take down Avram.
Right, but really it's, in all those cases, and I guess in Avram's case as well, it's not really directly, they don't care about Avram per se, it's his audience. They're trying to undermine him to his audience.
But they're trying to completely capsize and destroy the base of Avram, the movement.
The movement.
They're trying to destroy the movement, which is to bring Yichud Hashem to the world. So he has all these people. He's got the nations, who might be a much more, more polite, neutral enemy, and then the late son, who are aggressively taking them down. And then you have the Oivav, which are, super, who dedicate their energies to take him down. So that's that. So
what's the Bnei Doro then?
So I don't know. Bnei Doro might be the Goyim, the same thing. It could be that that Bnei Doro is Goyim and Oivav fit with Leitzanim. It could be they're really two categories. I don't know if they're four categories. But basically, you could put the people as being people who are, like now, like you have in Israel, has the rabidly pro-Palestinian people who are rabidly against, who are protesting the thing. That would be the Oivav, the enemies. And then the people who are like slightly negative, well, what about, I understand it's a tragedy, but what about the Palestinians? People who are not supporters, but they're not as openly aggressive, So he had to deal with all these audiences. And he basically said, I'm going to do it. He just went ahead and he's willing to deal with the consequences. Then, of course, we get, what does Avram do? We go back three parakim to Perak Yudalad. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. Vayareket chanichav yilidei beiso. Shmona aso shlosh meyos vayirdof adan. So, Avram heard that Lot had been kidnapped, notice he called him his brother, even though he's not telling you, but his kinsman. And by Arekin Chanichav, he armed his trained guys, his militia, Yilidei Beiso, those who grew up in his house, 318 guys, and they ran after into the Don region. So you see that Avraham Avinu knew that his Hashkafas Olam was gonna invite attackers, and he wasn't waiting till there be an attack to have the Chanichav. He had trained guys. For the word chinuch is to train, educate. So he had people, and then he opened up the armory and started handing out the weaponry. That's the Vayarek. So, and then they went out and went on their raid, their daring midnight raid. So already you see, which gets the question is, what aspect of Avram's life mission creates a need for self-defense? Kind of answered it, but why is self-defense intrinsic to being Avram Avinu and his household? Why is his approach machai of self-defense? Not accidental. It's intrinsic. What is the intrinsic point?
I mean, like you said, his ideology is necessarily going to create attacks and hatred.
Right. People are not going to be just satisfied with just having a Socratic debate with Avraham Avinu about what the Derech HaChaim is. They're going to feel threatened, and he's destabilizing the region. The Ram brings down the Mor Nevuchim that to the outsider Avraham looked like non-orthodox, like not religious, because he didn't do all the religious of the time. He had his own religion, you know, but he came across being a not religious person. So that's very destabilizing because all these chieftains had their religion that which they utilized to control the people and make sure the taxes were thing and make sure that they were on top. So this guy's coming along saying it's all stupidity. So that is going to create a lot of enemies. And then he had circumstances. He got taken down, you know, so dealing with Abimelech. I mean, he had all kinds of issues. So he has to be prepared. In other words, if he did not do self-defense, that is that's a lack in chacham on his part. In other words, not Eza chacham aroes anola. But if you can see which is the nola and you're not taking care of it, what are you saying? You're not a chacham. That's the direct reverse of that point. So therefore, I think it's by definition that Avram's example is Machayev, all, you know, the Jewish community, the Jewish people, to engage in self-defense and to be able to protect other Jews. I mean, I think that's an intrinsic thing. So I want to break that down to two categories. Category one we'll deal with tonight, and category two we'll deal with next week. Which category one is, what is my chiyuv to help? What is my chiyuv for self-defense as a yachid? Separate from the Jewish community. And that's specific, we're going to go through some of the specific halachic structures that have to do with that. And then, what is there's a chiyuv on the community or the nation to engage in self-defense and milchama, etc. So we're going to get into that. So that's what I want to accomplish with the time that we have. So, and specifically now, I mean, one of the things is just to say, I'll just state that those people who, you know, we've been blessed to be in America, where fundamentally, plus or minus, we felt fundamentally comfortable with the level of police and law enforcement to take care of to protect the Jewish community. And that has been, for the most part, sufficient for the Jewish community's needs. You know, I'm not talking about maybe a shul would have an additional guard, but fundamentally, that has been the case. Now, the fact that just factually, all the Jewish community organizations have ramped up their security. So they're now taking it seriously. The question is that enough, or will there be, as if the situation deteriorates, will there be a greater chiyuv to address that? So we don't know the answer to that. But I just want to just deal with some of the mitzvos, the chiyuv, the dinim that surround that issue. So let's take a look. So the Rambam in Yesod Torah, interesting, brings the following halacha. He says, "Uminayim." This is halacha Zion. "Uminayim shafil v'malkum sakanas nefasha in over al achas mishlosh averos elu shemar ve'hata Hashem lokecha b'chol v'chal b'chol mashchol chomadecha afil hu nato es nafshecha." So the Rambam said, let's say we're all familiar with if a despot puts a gun to your head and says, "Do avodah zarah, you get harav al yavor." How about you don't have a situation where there's a despot, but you're sick, and this doctor tells you if you do this particular avodah zarah ritual, it will cure you, it will move you out of danger. So how do you know that? So that doesn't seem to be kiddush Hashem, because you're not manifesting the superiority of the Das Emes versus the Avodah Zarah. It's like, no, you can argue that it's, in other words, you're not being tested by an external, no, there's not the despot and him trying to show that his civilizational order is better, and therefore he's telling you, do Avodah Zarah or I'll blow your head off. You say, you know, by you taking the bullet, you're saying that life is not worth living if I have to be an avodah zarah person. So it's like there's a clash of civilization, and you're saying that the Das Emes is superior as manifesting the thing. I have a guy sick in bed. That necessarily, apparently, that needs a separate mechayef. This is not the main focus. I'm just saying derech agav. So the mitzvah is what? A new mitzvah. V'yaha, you should love Hashem your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Even if he takes your soul, your chayav to be an oav Hashem. So apparently, I'm not going to define this, but something to think about, that it's an expression of avas Hashem for a guy to not do, to even in case of sakana, not do the avodah zarah gilurai shmi chazan. Okay, so that's what the thing. Then, this is what I am interested in is, harigas ha-nefesh mi-Yisrael, l'rafos nefesh acheres, olahat til adam miyad anas, killing another Jew to heal another guy or to save a person from some forced situation, it is logical, what the mind inclines toward, that you do not destroy one person to save another person. So a classic situation. Let's say a person needs a heart transplant. So you cannot go and take out a heart of another person, thus killing them, to take a good heart and put it into another person, because we aim adam nefesh. So even though they're involved in the tzalos nefashos, it's for the gimel averos, you can't do it. He's saying it's not even a function of v'hat hashem l'vecha, it's intrinsically logical, because you aim adam nefesh. So you have so let's stop here for a moment and ask, what is the idea of, why is it Eimad and Nefesh Ruvam Nefesh? What's the principle behind that? What is the idea behind that?
Well,
we could have put another, I didn't have room to put another source, but there's another source to put there. But go ahead, but what
is it partially that we're incapable of judging that this person that there's a better reason for this person to live than the other person.
Right. Okay. Is his blood rather than his?
Right. That's the one I wanted to put that the Gemara there. That me Omer Samach Tfei. Who says that his blood is more redder than the other person? Which means fundamentally, how do you know that existentially that this guy's better? Which really saying is that's not our cheshman. That's the cheshman of Bar Yom. We can't. That's not a decision that we're able to even make. So therefore, as a function of, now it could be theoretically, this guy is more worthy than the other guy. But it's not a decision that we have the heter to engage with. So we have to treat them as equal, and we cannot kill somebody to save another person. Okay? So that's the basic principle. Now we're going to deal with all the cases, which is the exception to that the principle. But I want to first establish that's the principle, okay? So then we have, this we take it to Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras HaNefesh, Perek Aleph, Halacha, we'll start with Hay. Rotzeach Shehareg V'Zaron, a guy who kills with intent, intentionally. Eim HaMisen Oso HaEidem V'Lo HaRom Oso, the witnesses that were there, or the people who are witnessing it, Achiavol Lebeisin, the Edinuhu Lemisa, and he is judged for Misa. Because what do you see? What's the obvious Havamina? What's the obvious Havamina right here? What the Rambam is trying to negate? That they ate him, and the people who are watching him could kill him. Because he's obviously a Rotzeach, and Rotzeach has it in Misa. Can't do it. Why? Till he gets judged for Misa. Shneamar lo yamus harotzeach ad amdo lefnei aida l'mishpat. You may not kill or execute the murderer until he stands before the congregation for judgment. V'hu'adin l'chol m'chuy v'ei misot v'esen, sh'avru v'asun, sh'ein misen osam ad sh'yigamer dinam v'esen. So what's the chiddush of the limud? What's the chiddush here?
Oh, does he have a shame rotzeach until Besdin says?
Right. So you know your hopping would be that he's a rotzeach. The din of rotzeach is that he should die. No. It has to be an act of Maisa Basin that gives him, as you said, the Shem Rotzeach. Why is that? What's the principle there? Why is that? He's a murderer. We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. We couldn't be more clear. We couldn't be more clear than seeing with our own eyes. There's 100 people who saw this guy brutally murder somebody. Can't touch him until you get him and bring him to Basin. So what's the principle here? And it's a Pasuk. It's an open Pasuk. Lo yamus harosech ad amdo l'shnei ha'edel ner mishpat. What's the concept?
He has the din of a rotzeach. You're saying like after he's gotten the din? Or
I'm saying but isn't that like a legalistic? Why is that so critical? Why is the Torah? We all saw him. He killed him. Why? In other words, we're not allowed to touch him.
I mean,
we can't kill him.
From a societal perspective, it makes sense because. Okay. How do you know that people are going to say, going to kill someone, say, yeah, we saw him kill somebody.
All right. So you're saying that, you can say practically, we're not going to tolerate vigilantism, taking the law in your own hands, because it's liable to distortion. Certainly true. But I think we can apply the same principle. To engage in adjudicating dina nefashos requires the matir of the basin, that the basin is what is in as it were in exchange for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk when you say that we're going to say that's part of the it's the pasuk we say in the Shir Shal Yom of Tuesday tomorrow. Blank on that. What's that for? Right, they're sitting in the congregation of God. So in there, they're not God. God's not in a place. So that means that they're taking on that role. They're given. There's been a heter for mankind through Basin to engage with Dina Fashos. Because you should say, because you can make that, which is the pro, you know, the anti-capital punishment. Say, what are you talking about? The guy's dead already. Now you're going to kill two people? Just incarcerate him. So what's the answer? You need the answer. Why is it your purview? Maybe you're going to make a mistake. All right. So therefore, you need to, so the pasuk gives you a answer that if there's a person's captured and there's Adam and they go through the whole drisha v'chagira and they have and there's a shame. And the guy has the shame rotzeach given to him by the Beis Din. Then there's a chiyuv of rotzicha. But it's not your. We have no right to do that. Because we said, because we said before, she'im adam nefesh. So if that's true, then you have no right to kill a guy. Okay, so that I'm just all setting up for, obviously, this is all a setup, as you know, for the kasha. Because then, if a guy violated and did a sin, which obligates one of the capital punishment of eras, then you get the misa basin. A guy is running after his friend. He's a Jew, running after a fellow Jew. Lahargo, to kill him. Even if the rotev is a katan. Haray kol Yisrael mitzuvim lahatzel anirdav miyat harodef apil v'nafshe shel rodef. Every member of Israel is obligated to rescue the pursued from the pursuer, even if it means having to kill the pursuer. So this is a big kasha. There's many problems with that. In fact, I'm going to read a little more. We'll just add on to the couple kasher. Ketsa, what's the case? Im hithiru, if they warned him, Varehu wrote of Acharav, and he's running after the guy. Afa pishlo kibol av hasra, even if he didn't accept the hasra of not to do it, of not to kill the guy. Kevashad dain hu rodev, since he's still a pursuer, harei zenarag, he is subject to being killed. Vim yachom lahatil v'aver me'evri harodev, if you can save the pursued by knocking out, you know, shooting the guy in the leg, let's say. Kagon shiakov v'chet, you shoot him with an arrow. O be'evon, with a rock. O besaif, or with a sword. V'yikdu es yado, and you chop off his arm. O yisru es raglo, and you break his leg. O yisaimu es aino, or you blind him in his eye. You do it. V'me'ena yichom l'kavein, if you can't do that, you can't make that as... Just injure him to knock him out of commission, ulatzilo, and rescue the guy. Elim came harguhu lirdof, unless he's unless you actually kill him, kill the pursuer. Hare elu horgin also. You can kill him. Afal pisha dying lo har, even though he didn't kill anybody yet. Shneamar the katzoses kapa, and you cut off her hand. Lo tachos einecha. So the case there is a woman, there's a husband and a guy is fighting a serious battle, and the woman, the wife, in order to think, goes down and reaches down and tries to crush him, and Chazal view that as being a death blow to the guy. So Chazal, the Torah says, you can even cut off her hand. In order to prevent him from killing the guy, you can cut off her hand. Lo tachos einecha. And you don't have any, and you have no mercy against her, because she's a rodef. So what happens to Eim Ad Nefesh Mil Nefesh? What happens to the Maisa Basin? What happens to all these institutions? We just got to establishing. That's what's logical. Eim Ad Nefesh Mil Nefesh, and we said that we made the whole point that you need a matir of basin to engage in adjudication. And here we have the new institution called rodef, which is suddenly. You run after the guy, Hasra, another one. Even if he's a cotton, even if the kid's 11 years old, how old do you have to be to get a punch? How old do you have to be to get the Misa Basin? No, that's only Misa Beta, 13. For Bidei Shemaim is only for 20. But by Bidei Adam is 13, he's only 13 years old. So here, even if he's a con, he's an 11-year-old guy, he's a rodeo if you kill him. Even if he doesn't accept things, what happens to the whole institution? This is vigilantism. Or is it? You know, that's the Shiloh. What's going on here?
He's still alive, so to speak. Is there like an overriding Pekuach Nefesh or some other concern to preserve the life of the victim? Whereas, first case, the person's dead, so you have had the luxury of going through the justice system to see if he's guilty or not and put him to death. But here, maybe there's like an intervening Pekuach Nefesh concern where you're allowed to kind of intervene.
Right. But you do have, this is really... put that case aside, the best of it, but this is diametrically opposed on the surface to the first halacha
of Eim Avdim Nefesh.
Let's say you have a choice. Shoot this shoot this Drew and this Drew will live,
right,
you're not allowed to do that.
Correct.
So again, they're both alive at the moment, but it seems it's from the opposite, that the road there somehow is forfeited by being...
So your first move was, once he's a pursuer, he's not a Gabra Katila. He lost his life. But that's not the case, because the lucky is, you are hired to try to immobilize him by shooting him in the leg.
Right.
Versus, I didn't put the source here, by Habab Machter, a guy comes sneaking into your house in the dead of night to steal stuff. He has no ain lo damim, says the pasuk. So therefore, you're not chayav to shoot him in the leg. You can blow the guy away. That's it. He comes in above Machteras. He comes burrowing into your house. He has these. There's no idea of minimizing the thing. You have a shot right in his core. Game, two in the head, one in the chest, the end, game over. But by here, by the road days, no. You got to try to stop him. So, Chad, I'm not disagreeing with the approach. It's just, but you have to, you have to deal with Sylvia's questions there.
The individuals, right? Here you have somebody who's in danger, his life's in danger. What's the cause of his life in danger?
The
guy pursuing him. So
yes.
you're not like judging, okay, him versus him. You're saying, right now this person's in danger. The only way, if the only way to eliminate it is by killing them, then okay.
So how is that different between the case of, let's say the person could benefit from a heart transplant, so take out the heart from this guy and save this guy.
Eliminating the threat.
So in one case, we say Amav the Nefesh of Nefesh, and here we are in fact destroying the guy. But it seems that he's not a Gavra Shaina Katila, in other words, he's not a person who's given up his life, like a Barba Machteres guy. You gotta minimize it. So how do you explain
that? The terminology Moshe is using kind of answers that, because there's a threat to a Jew, and you have to remove the threat. So once you do you shoot him in the leg or whatever it is, there's no longer a threat.
Correct.
So then there's no marker to kill him.
Right, correct. And if you do kill him, you're chayav misa.
Okay.
Right, that's right.
But in the other case, the guy whose heart you're going to take, he's not a threat. He's not the cause
right.
of the danger to the second guy.
Right, he's completely external to the thing. So the key point here is what you guys are saying is that there's the pasuk of the katzosas kafa teaches you that there's a new mitzvah of hatzalah. You're chayev, really, you wouldn't be able to, because the guy didn't kill anybody yet. That's what Rambam says. He says ki avapi shadayin lo harak. He didn't kill anybody yet. So there's a new chayev hatzalah, and that means, and therefore, it's nothing to do with, you're not involved in din. You're not involved in din. That's why you're. And it's not like it's an extra juridical. It's not like vigilantism. This guy killed Reuven, and therefore I'm going to go kill Shimon because he killed Reuven unjustly. There's no heter for that. Has to be done through a Maisa Beis Din. Here you're not involved in. You're not a shliach of the Beis Din. You're not doing judgment. You're not doing mishpat on the guy. You are preserving this guy who's being the near death. You got to save the near death from the road rave. So therefore, the Shliya Batsala is that you have to do what you can. Now you have to do just enough what you can do just to neutralize the situation. So that's why, because there's no idea when every time there's a Shliya of Misa, there's no idea of chopping off his arm. Either it's just binary. Either he's chayav misa or he's not. Either he dies or he lives. So no, why do you have this chopping off his arm business? To neutralize him? Because it's a lach of atzal. It's a separate machayev. You're chayev to pursue, to, you're chayev preserve the nirdaf, and that gives you the heter to engage in a maisa atzala. But you got to do that which is minimally necessary to pursue the guy. If it means that you can't do it, then you're allowed to kill the guy. That because it's a ma'is hatzala. Because that tells you the point. You should have no pity. So even it means, even if it means killing the guy. So you're not doing a ma'isa thing. You're not making a judgment about imav nefesh. The chi of hatzala is your chi to save the nirdaf from the rodef in the most calibrated way possible, even if it means killing the other guy. That seems to be the basic halacha.
How is it, you guys like, shoot that guy or I'll shoot you?
That you can't, because then you're making judgments about another guy.
You're making a judgment that one guy's worth, his life is worth more than the other guy.
Right. We don't get involved we're not allowed to be involved in the judgment guy. What the Katzosav Kapov Lo Sachos Einecha mitzvah is teaching us is that you now have a new chiyuv called Hatzala is born, which means you have to save this guy because he's being wrongfully pursued to death, and therefore you're allowed to use all these varying degrees of maisei. In other words, you're doing maisei Hatzala versus doing being nigmar din and executing the guy.
Could you say it this way? Just you're really not involved in mishpat, in that you're not judging that he's a rodef and he's the nirdaf as a value. That happens to be the facts you're faced with.
Correct.
So the guy has put himself in. So you're not making that judgment.
Correct.
He's the rodef.
He's the rodef. Right. You're not involved in the realm of mishpat. You're now chayev. You are now duty bound to preserve the life of the nirdaf. And that gives you, and that's what also, by the way, you can, as you see also, who's chayev? Everybody's chayev. Normally, the Beis Din, it's not everybody, we're not all involved in the Beis Din. It's a discrete group. They're the Dayanim, and there's a Dayanim and their team called the Shotrim. That's it. You're not allowed to get involved. It's not your role.
Can I ask you a question on that? I don't want to go off topic. Good. Is a rogi, they have to be like, actively engaged in the pursuit of this person, or if you have someone who's like building pipe bomb who's...
Oh, we're going to get... That's our next case. That's our next case. Okay, that's good. So how... All right, so that is not the only issue of where Chiyuv Hatzala comes in. There's another Machayev, which is Lachi Yadalev. Kol HaYachol HaHatzil Lo Yitzil. Anybody's able to save a guy and doesn't save him. Overall, lo samoral de merecha, you should not stand idly by the blood of your friend. V'chein aroa es chavero tovea biyam. You see a guy's friend, you see a fellow Jew, and he's drowning in the sea. Oh, listen, boy, my love. Or you see that robbers are coming to get him. Oh, hachaya rab, oh, love. Or wild animals approaching him. V'yachol lahatzil ba'atzmo, and you have the skills, the capability to rescue him, or you're able to hire others to rescue him, but you don't do it, or you hear about that the non-Jews, the idolaters, or Jews who turn Jews in, are scheming evil plan against a guy, or they're planning a trap. Below Gila Ozen Achavero, and you don't tell the poor, your friend who's going to be victimized by this. Right? And you don't do that? Oshiyada Ba'akum, Oba'anos, Shuba Al Chavero. You know that this other guy, that this non-Jew, or this despot is coming to your friend, and you have the ability to appease him. In accordance, to help out your friend by, paying him off or, ameliorating the threat, mashilibo velo paiso, you have ability and you don't do it. Kol kiyotavidav elu haoso sum over al lo samon al domrecha. Anybody who doesn't do these various acts to help out the fellow Jew, he's over lo samon al domrecha. Okay, so you see, there's a chiyuv, an additional chiyuv, to get involved in protecting the welfare of a fellow Jew against a whole litany of threats, not just the rodef. even far more chattas, even far more distance rats, your chayef. And let's put it all together. Haroa, then let's now the Rambam is going to now Haroa rodef achar chaveira lahorga ol achar erva labala v'yachol atzil v'lo hitzil. You see a pursuer who's running after a guy to either to kill him or to rape a woman, and you could save them, and you don't save them. Hareza bitul mitzaseh v'katzosa kapa. You did not do the mitzvah of kachatzola, but you shall cut off her arm. V'avrach shnei lavin, you violate two lavin. One is lo sachosei necha, you should have no pity upon him, and lo samal damriacha. So they merge in together, so you have a double chiev. You have two positive, you have one mitzvah zaseh, you have a kasos hakapah, and you violate two lavim of failing to protect your a fellow Jew. So you see, there's a much more broader thing of l'sam al damriecha is beyond the situation of a rodef. Let's go back to the cases.
Right, but the rodef is lahorga.
Yes.
And some of these other things, machashim lavra, is not necessarily...
Could be any damage. Correct. It's even more. So lo samal damriecha is far more broad. You know, guys drowning or going to drown. If a lifeguard is just indifferent or doesn't take the job seriously and the person's struggling and they don't save them, I mean, this is it's not just a lav, just saying it's a los, I say, doesn't give you the full weight of it. This is extremely serious. So I'm preserving a person from kol makayim nefesh achas miyisrael hareza makayim olam mala. In other words, anybody who saves a Jew, is if they save the whole world. So therefore, being negligent and not diligent of this is terrible. So anytime you can save, and you see that you have to get into involved, you can't just say, I don't want to enter into a measure of sakana. You see here that you have to take on, I don't know the exact halachic shear, but a measure of sakana. I think it was said about the Ruchayim that because of Losan Demriecha, there was a cholera outbreak in Brisk. And he felt he had to go out and do something to engage, and even though that mean that he could have caught the cholera. So he felt that he read this Rambam way that you're chayev to take a measure of risk to help another Jew. Now, also you can also have a higher others. Maybe you're not a EMT. You don't have these skills, whatever. But my point being, this is an extremely serious chiyev here to make sure that... the Jewish, Jewish people that you come in contact to are preserved. So you see that as far as that, certainly as Rabbi Mann pointed out to me, and certainly yourself, if you're chayv to preserve other people, certainly you're chayv to preserve yourself. So that's the thing. So I wanted to, what Gary shared with me off line, you want to say can we put this in, we're now in the framework of a tshuva framework. What is the tshuva element? So that brought to my mind the Rambam's letter on astrology. He wrote to the rabbis of Marseille in 1194, apparently. So he basically, the question was, the Gemara is filled with examples of astrology. Mazel. What is mazel? Mazel tov. Mazel tov means that this person should be born or be affected by a certain constellation which will have an influence positively in your life. Or Ein Mazal Yisrael. The destiny of Israel are not subject to the mazalos, but apparently they viewed the mazalos as a way of influence the world. So the rabbis of Marseille, of France, of the south of France, want to know what's the deal with that. So I'm not, the letter is worthwhile reading in its entirety, but I want to take the part that's relevant for us. He says like this, "No, my masters, it's not proper for a man to accept as trustworthy anything other than three things. One, a thing that which is a clear proof derived from man's reasoning, such as arithmetic, geometry, and astronomy." So first thing is, it's logical. It makes sense. It can be proven, demonstrated. Two, a second thing is a man perceives through his five senses, such as when he knows with a certainty that this is red and this is black and the like through the sight of the eye, or that he tastes that it's bitter and it's sweet, and when he feels it's hot or cold, he hears when the sound is clear and the sound is, or sound is, the sound is indistinct, when he smells that this is a pleasing smell and this is a displeasing smell and the like. So to trust, I guess obviously they're but basically your sense perceptions. Third, a thing that a person receives from the prophets or from the righteous, every reasonable person ought to distinguish in mind and thought all the things that he accepts as trustworthy. You say, I accept this as trustworthy because of tradition, I accept it because of sense perception, and this on the grounds of reason. So Ram is an extremely rigorous thinker that every idea that he had, he would organize in three buckets. Why am I accepting this as being true? This is based on a Masera. This, I think, is based upon sense perception. And this is because of reason. Anyone accepts as trustworthy anything that is not one of the three things? The simpleton believes everything. That is the pasuk of Pesi Yamin Lechol Davar. A simpleton or an idiot believes everything. Okay? So obviously we don't want to be that. So now, the Rama makes a dramatic statement where he talks about the Churban Bayis. This is why our kingdom was lost and our temples were destroyed and why we were brought to this. I think he's talking about Bayis Sheni. In contrast, he does not bring the Sinas Chinam, one that the Gemara brings down. For our fathers sinned, and they are no more, because they found many books dealing with these themes of the stargazers, these things being the root of idolatry, which we just make clear in the laws concerning idolatry. They erred and were drawn after them, imagining them to be glorious science and be of great utility. They did not busy themselves with the art of war and with the conquest of lands, but imagined their studies would help them. Therefore, the prophets called them fools and dolts. The truly fools they were. They walked after confused things that are no prophets. So Ram is making the claim that the Jewish people, I guess Bayis Sheni, I mean, maybe Bayis Rishon, but whatever, one of the clear, is that they, instead of engaging in preparing for war properly, engaging in the art of war, they were involved in astrology and believing that this astrology or these mystical things would give them the edge against the Romans or the Babylonians, either one of the two. I don't know which one exactly he's talking about. And basically, that's why we lost it. So he puts the... So you see from that going from a national perspective, that not engaging properly on the national level with say the state of Israel, not doing the proper precautions for war can have a deleterious thing, and that really is a hate. And it's chayav tshuva. It's not like they made a mistake. That's also part of tshuva, because there has to be some magical thinking that's substituting the proper war thing. And unfortunately, it came out already that they wanted to believe. In other words, what makes it right? The conceptia of the conceptia that we've had in the 1973 war that the Syrians and the Egyptians are not going to do a full war. They were. Scared straight by their tremendous defeat in 1967. And our bar level line will hold them. Then they got schmeist, and that was proven not the case. Then we have this super war, we have a super wall with all the electronics and the surveillance, and we know that they don't want to mess up their society, because we're giving them 18,000 work permits and they want to take care of their people. Now you see, it's so obvious in front of anybody who's reasonable, they have no concern for their own people. They're even taking from the hospital medicine.
They said it in the New York Times interviewed some of the leaders. They actually said it.
Sarah Kiev.
We're not looking to better their lives.
No, right. So. But we wanted, but Netanyahu and the, again, obviously it's very easy for us to be Monday morning quarterbacks, but seriously, but it's not simply a lack of, because it's not just simply a lack of intelligence, it's a lack of, behind that is the hate that I want to believe the world to be, I want the world to operate in a kind of way. I want to be able to be chill and not have to deal with this nonsense. And therefore we have time to fight about, you know, whether we can have a Ne'ilah service in the middle of Tel Aviv with a Mechitza, without a Mechitza, or fight about judicial reform, or all the different things that we believe. But conversely, but even here in America, we believed, we thought that we were living in the Golden Medina where our security was absolute and eternal, unchanging. So that seems to be not the case. You know, look, we're hoping that everything remains, you know, no massive tragedies, but clearly there's a chiyuv upon us, there's a chiyuv of to be be makbid on the rodeif and to be to watch the rodeif and to be involved in atzala, and not to be involved in whether it be astrology or any kind of magical thinking that will believe that I don't have to take care of what has to be taken care of. And I think that to go to mumchim, experts, and say, you know, what as I as an individual Jew, as a family, as a community, what am I chayav to do to be considered a guy who is not a pesi hamam in the chol davar? In other words, what will the rational man do to be a person who's really involved? And obviously there's a individual level and there's a chiyuv on the society, on the community and the society. And there's even more chiyuv, which we haven't brought into yet, which we'll, other marmakomos will bring next time. But clearly, in other words, being involved in magical thinking is a chet, and which is a chayv yitshuv on, and each person has to mashire what that is, and that's you know, in fact, every chet comes from magical thinking. Chazal say what? Ein chet shor elo misha nichnas baruch shkos. So ruach, what is it? Ruach shkos means I see the world in a fantastical way. In a way that I want to believe. that's very nice. But that's why it was so, that's why all Jews now feel are shocked, because the fantasy, there was a fantasy of security that just really got schmeißed. You know what I mean? You know, the whether it be in Israel and worldwide, and the fact that the level of raging anti-Semitism by the great educated the educational elite of America, it's like shocking you. So it's like, and you know, and everybody knew about it in a certain sense, but they couldn't believe it was to that degree. So that means we didn't want to see how all the facts lined up. So there's a magical thinking there. All right. So now that we have the facts, question is what are the steps forward? So I think everybody has to cashman out what they should do on a personal safety level, and then be involved in helping the community. May think about this intelligently. I mean, you know, this itself is a malacha. But to assume that this malacha should not be done thoughtfully, it could be, you know, unfortunately, like most, when do most people do, you know, repairs is when after there's a problem. So used to be, you know, the more veteran people around the table remember when you can go from your car, walk through an airport, through everything, right to the plane. There wasn't even a metal detector. You went just right through. Your family would go and by the door would say goodbye to you at the door.
We could actually go out on the outside on the tarmac.
Right.
Those are the days you have to go up.
Right.
You can go on the tarmac, going towards the steps to say goodbye.
Right. So ironically, the people that are responsible for that not being the case. Again, it's the same ironic people. It was first the Palestinians, because in the 1970, they started their methodology of putting forth their Palestinian cause by blowing up planes. So then they had to have, you know, then they started with metal detectors.
Hijacking and
blowing up. Yeah, so then you see the level of security has, and then of course 9/11 changed everything, where a guy with a bunch of box cutters came in there and 19 guys, 18 guys, took over three or four planes and kill 3,000 people. So you don't want to wait till obviously, and there was an inquiry, there was, and again, there was magical thinking that one don't want to believe that you live in such a world. So, again, you, on the other hand, you don't want to become a paranoid nut either. So exactly that exact level of thoughtful rationality, whatever it is, I don't have it per se, but I'm just seeing the Rambam points out not Seneskino as being the destruction of the thing, but rather as being, you're not saying that's not only the problem, but there's an issue of relying on the, you know, astrology, which is a false science, to solve problems. And he's saying that we could have the Migdash if they were more rational in their approach, just like Avraham Avinu, Vayarek Chanichav. Now, also, you don't want to go the other emotion, like, all right, well, I'm going to walk around town with two six-shooters and ready to shoot people. You know what I'm saying? You can also get, like, I'm going to be Rambo, and then, you know, that's also, you don't want to exchange one crazy emotion or one magical thing with another magical thinking. So there's no simple answers to any of these things. It requires a real cheshbon. Like, people say, oh, bring back the JDL. Well, if you look, what happened to the JDL? Well, they ended up in prison. And they did it attracted a lot of crazy people. And they were happy to be let loose and do things. And now they're fighting against the Soviet Union and trying to release this Soviet dissidents. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, but they're bombing people and they kill people and they end up in jail. So that's also not such a chachmah takeaway. So I'm not giving here what the thing is. I'm just identifying there is a chait. We've got to be like Avraham Avinu, who recognized that he's living in a dangerous neighborhood. He's bringing a new idea to the world. And we are the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. Whether you like it or not, you have Avraham Avinu's face on yourself. That's it. You are going. You elicit aggression intrinsically. There's another thing we don't want to accept. I don't want to accept that. And the Hamasnikers, they did not distinguish between a person who was secular or the religious. They killed everybody. Care less. That's it. So that's something that. So that's it. So we've been living in a very fortuitous bubble in America for decades now, and not having to really deal with this sugya. But I think the time has come. Any questions? Very good. So.